Hey, everybody. Welcome to Policy Streams, a podcast where we have a flow of casual conversations with our friends from the LKY School and their policy interests.
On today's podcast, we have Hari and Pooja, two of our beloved classmates. Before coming to the school, Hari was working as an engineer and software developer at a startup, creating all kinds of crazy codes and programs.
And Pooja has invaluable experience teaching children in rural India as part of a role at Teach for India.
In this podcast, Hari and Pooja will share how they grew up in the education system and what they think ought to change as technology becomes increasingly integrated into the world we live in.
So we've all just come back from a restful summer break, doing our own things and recuperating. What about you, Pooja? What did you get up to during the summer?
I was working with Institute of Water Policy for the past 3 months. So yeah, I worked on two projects, one on high-tech food and one on water demand management.
What about you, Hari?
I was supposed to be ordering for three props, but I think I ended up doing it.
Why three props? How did you end up ordering for three?
I just can't say no, you know.
So this is one thing I heard from, somebody's told me that you've developed this programming app over the summer. Can you share a little bit more about this app?
Okay. Disclaimer.
You only did it as a trial, right?
It's not actually happening. It's a proof of concept. There is no evidence that this is actually in place. I just wrote this script that will automatically submit a temperature.
So when you say script, you mean like some programming type?
Yeah, it's a program thing, which will just log in as me on the the MyAces profile and will submit a random temperature between 35 point something and 36 point something. At 8 a.m. And
have you actually built this program?
It wasn't very hard to build up. So it was just, I just wrote it out in a couple of hours. And then it also sends a notification to my phone to let me know that everything's
set. So supposedly this is a proof of concept app that you've already developed that automates and implements the temperatures for you on the NUS temperature recording app.
Yes.
That is very hard.
No, that sounds like Hari. Actually, Hari, what is your background? What were you doing before?
I was a computer engineering graduate from NUS. And then since I joined NUS, I've been on the lookout for interesting opportunities. And somehow or the other, that's led me to working with startups. So I pretty much have all my experience in startups. Working in a startup just naturally equips you to just think on your feet and, just learn on the job is the mantra, for a startup pretty much. So I think that I just fit right in there because I didn't really like, structured learning in a sense, at least to a certain point. I really much rather get my hands dirty and try some things out and, work under pressure.
I think that's something that's really interesting about Hari. He seems like the kind of person that you can say, here's your space, and he's going to go in and populate it with all kinds of ideas and it's all brilliant. Yeah, and I think this is something that I think almost the whole class really admires you for and thinks it's awesome. How do you feel? Do you ever feel pressured that you have to live up to our expectations?
So, I don't know. I think that partly comes from, this societal expectation to be humble, right? And that's partly largely drives me too. I would rather help. I would absolutely help you at any time with anything you have, try my best. But it's just, I think that's just a natural thing to do. For me, it's not I'm going out of my way or anything. It's kind of, in a sense, it's also not a weakness, but a flaw in a sense where I prioritize quick wins or just if someone interrupts me something, I'd rather do that than my actual work. So I'm very bad at, this is my biggest weakness. I think I've realized it multiple times in NUS and everything, is working on long-term projects, research projects especially, that do not have a clear outcome or a deadline, right? So I work much rather with you just tell me you need this done and I'll get that done for you because that I can see myself working towards that, right? So that's how I just do it. So
you said something I kind of almost invite the distraction from other people because it's a distraction from doing something else.
Yeah.
Would you call yourself a procrastinator?
I'm a huge procrastinator.
I think it's very limited to procrastination towards something that has a longer time to reach the end goal, while something short, he doesn't seem like a procrastinator at all.
That's good, right? I just think in a sense, this is attitude, I don't know where I picked it up from, but it's just that there is no useless knowledge. There isn't any useless knowledge at all. If you call it procrastinating, then I'm reading this random Wikipedia article about, it was the most recent random Wikipedia article. Yeah, a rabbit hole that I went to. This is procrastination, yes, but it's...
How can your procrastination be productive?
Procrastination is not meant to be productive, Hari. Yeah, but Pooja, I was interested a little bit. You talked about your Institute of Water Policy and stuff, kind of the stuff that you're doing while you're doing summer. But I know that's not your background. Before you came to the Lee Kuan Yew School, you did a little bit of something else. Can you kind of share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I started teaching at the when I was in class 8 to take care of my tuition fees and all. So since then, I've been teaching like some of the other students. From then also, I did realize, I always thought there are good students, there are bad students. I never thought it to be they take time to become a good student, or it could take more time for a few students to reach that level. I was so frustrated as a teacher. I was like, I can never be a teacher. So, and then, then I came to Delhi from, I was originally from Kolkata in India, and then I came to Delhi, and then I joined college, and then I started working for Teach for India, which is, I interned with Teach for India, and I interned for this school, which was again class 6 and 7 students. But there the methodology is in itself is to like group people and try to take them from the very basic and a different way of educating students, which is again a lot, because there you will find different kind of background people coming together, and they have other issues in their household. They discuss those issues with you, and again different levels of students sitting in the same class. How do you go about it? How do you teach them prime numbers while you don't even know how those numbers are written, or like how do they pronounce those numbers? So how do you take them from there to calling it a prime number, which doesn't even really matter right now for your age, but because your syllabus really asks for it, and how do you go about that? So these were the initial challenges that I did see while I was still in college.
Can I ask a little bit more about that Teach for India program? Yeah. So my sister-in-law did the Teach for India program in Malaysia. Oh. And she said it was one of the most grueling experiences that she's ever had, because you're dealing with children that don't have the necessary backgrounds, I suppose, in the education and even the kind of families that they grow up in. Is that kind of the experience that you had as well in your Teach for India program?
Yeah, definitely. So there was this one girl who used to really copy me. So the way I am talking, she'll talk to me like that, which was like, how do you deal with that? And you're taught that you're not supposed to treat them like with any disrespect as such. Later, I realized, I spoke to the actual the fellow that I was working under, and she said that how she doesn't have a mom, and her dad dresses like a mom. So he has a certain tendency to like, he probably wanted to be like a girl. So that is where she's coming from. And that's where all the background just comes into play when in any system that you are in education, in health, in every other thing that you're doing in life, any decision that you're making currently in your life, at the very earlier stage, it is affecting you. How I was seeing that person, just her as in herself, was not enough. I really need to understand the context behind everything that happens with any other person in my life. And that is not just about students or any about children, but it's each one of us. We really need to, whenever we speak to someone, I really think that one should always take care of the background. Mm-hmm. And that was a very big learning that happened right in Teach for India.
I think it's like, almost like you only see someone in one figure of a moment, and it's so hard to know more than that, than just in that moment itself. And so I guess having that, giving the person more space for doubt or whatever it is that they're doing, really goes a long way.
And I mean, that's a very important concept that you talk about, that what you grow up in terms of your schooling environment, the family that you grow up in as a child, right, in your early formative stages, it impacts everything in many respects going forward. And the role of technology in early childhood development, can maybe, Hari, can you explain a little bit of that concept and how that relates in India? Why do we need technology in early childhood development?
Technology is one thing, but I think more importantly, I think the larger point Pooja is making as well, right, is there's a tendency to, you know, assume that everyone's on the same page when we get started with the education system. And I think that's fundamentally a very flawed idea, that it's discounting all of the different backgrounds and everything. We need to evolve our existing teaching pedagogies to the kind of the computer age, where now this generation onwards, or the next generation, computers are going to become a lot more ubiquitous and entrenched and just assumed in your life, right? Just like how we learn to operate, or how we've learned to essentialize mathematics. Yeah, everyone has to know a little bit of mathematics. It's the mathematical thinking. How do you approach a problem, like formal logic and stuff like that, which is what we hope to teach them through mathematics, but sometimes it's lost, the larger message. I hope that isn't the case, where we don't impose just programming language or coding, but instead we start teaching kids like the analytical approach of, you know, solving problems through like a computing lens in a sense, which is just like, you know, how do you break down a problem into repeatable portions. Mm-hmm. That's what I think programming teaches you in general is, right? It just teaches you how to break down any problem into like what's called an algorithm or like a sequence, and then you can figure out how to implement that sequence. So that is where I think we need to teach. But definitely like just this approach of problem solving approach is just useful in life in general. Like,
I think I do relate a lot from I spent a lot of time in researching on early childhood education. You start looking at small symptoms of their cognitive skills growing, their motor skills growing, on how, like, if you give a child your just a finger and then he holds it, or he or she is able to hold it, and that makes that is a sign that his motor skill is growing. Similarly, from the angle of tech, how we can incorporate such small little things of looking at certain things in a tech sense. These are very base of tech, not like we are not saying start writing codes. But again, these are clubbing is also base of mathematics. These are base of cognitive skills. These are basis of mathematics. That's how you grow to actually counting numbers. You have to first count the two things that you have. First, understand there is a comparison happening when you think about small to large. So that is where the maths comes from. Two is larger than one. And that's where I think tech needs to be added in this system to actually be able to link it better so that you can actually question what is happening in this world. If responsible innovation is such a big thing now, people are innovating but not really thinking about the large population that you are going to affect at a larger scale. And how you can incorporate this in the education system is so important from every other angle, from a poverty angle to a gender angle to major political angle as well, and in the international world in itself, because we are also like really complaining about China really doing a lot of things in terms of taking a lot of data, and we are questioning a lot of things. But I really feel when I question a lot of things in terms of they are taking my data, or when we were really questioning about the Aadhaar thing that was happening in India, how much do we know really, like what was the tech, what exactly they are taking, how are they really going to exploit it? I understand we have started questioning it, but I really see there is no base to those questioning. We just question, okay, this person is questioning, we add to that questions. We are just wary of sharing now, but we easily accept all the cookies, easily accept everything, terms and conditions. Whenever we do retail shopping, we are not really thinking. We are just against that government who asked for something. But if you really want to get deep down into the details of not doing right through technology, there's a lot that needs to be learned, and that there's a lot that needs to be added.
All right, I have two questions on that front. So number one, right, is at what age do you think they should be exposed to learning these technologies? And number two, what do you think, if technology is a solution to some of these problems, right, what do you think are the current challenges to implementing technology as a solution?
At what age that needs to be added, I really think that there's a lot of research that needs to be done. But I do see that it can be incorporated as we incorporate mathematics, another higher level of mathematics. As I said, there's basic comparison to actually getting introduced to numbers, to then getting introduced to multiplication of those numbers. This multiplication is getting used so that your system, your life cycle becomes much more easier. So I think in those sense, that troubles me a lot in the education system is we don't really learn to understand how it makes our life easier. We are learning as terms of concepts. Okay, this is my additions, this is multiplication. But we are not saying how addition, then adding multiplication to my understanding of addition has helped me get this output. And how addition of coding to my multiplication can help me get this output. This is how the learning curve should look like. And I want the lens to also be in that angle.
So if I want to piggyback on that point, so there's two things, right? So she talked a little bit about how we understand technology as it is right now, which comes to like, you know, issues of, let's say, encryption, or what do we do? Like, I see a common thing among my MPP batchmates is that a lot of them use like, you know, one or two passwords or three passwords. You know?
Yeah. Guilty.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm trying to change that, right, in general, or at least trying to influence people to. So the problem there is not so much that, you know, it exists as an abstract concept that, you know, having one password is bad or two passwords, but we don't really understand why is it bad. And I think there is just the thing, like how, again, you know, it's just technical literacy, I would say, not so much technology. So you don't have to know programming to understand this. So technical literacy should be introduced, I would say, like, you know, maybe around when you're just starting to make more informed decisions with technology, which is like, I would say like when you're in your teens, right? Around that time when you start going online in a major way, when a lot of websites open up to you technically. You don't have to know the underlying HTTPS protocol or SSL or all of these complicated mechanisms that have been built in, but you have to understand the purpose. And
a lot of people learn something for the sake of just learning and rote learning, but they don't understand the implications behind what they're learning. I think in a more technological type of world, it's definitely a lot more important to do these type of things, because it's not only embedded in literally what we do from a day-to-day basis, but you know, it's also going to be what drives us in terms of productivity in the future. And if you don't understand how it contributes to productivity or your way of life, then what's the point of doing this all?
No, I think there's also the element of data privacy. If you, like, for example, with security of your passwords, right, you need to understand why it's necessary so that you can understand what is it that you're putting out there. You know, you need to know the stakes.
I would say, like, the better analogy for that is, like, something like, you know, you can see the world in black and white, but the moment you add color, you just see a lot more things.
But, right, regarding this, I think this is a very interesting topic where we're talking about why it's important to know why we're doing something that we're doing, right? But if we're teaching kids, right, I remember going through this. I was in Singapore, right, we were forced to learn a musical instrument because they believe that it would teach you how to expand, you know, all that kind of cognitive abilities and stuff. We chose the recorder because it's the cheapest. So everyone has to learn the recorder, okay? Yeah, and I remember just going through the whole process, and as someone who is quite musical, right, I love music, but I just remember going through the process like, why am I doing this? Yeah. And then at some point, they forced us to learn keyboard on, like, you know, and some computer software stuff as well when I was younger. Someone can come in with the best of intentions and say, hey, let me teach you about this. You're going to need to know this in the future. This is super important to know. But as a child, you might not be in that position to be very receptive to the knowledge. How do you make these people, these young children, young humans, understand the importance of what you're trying to teach to begin with? Because we can spend a lot of money into policies, regulations to get these technical solutions out there in your education curriculum, but your person might just not be receptive to it.
So for 14 to 18 year olds specifically, what we did was we were like, okay, you have 50 rupees and this is one shop that has 5 things. How much can you buy out of these 5 things? You can't buy all of it. It's total 80 rupees. So you have to pick and choose what all can you buy from that 50 rupees. And they had to do that. That was a direct understanding of why addition is important. So this is how we directly could help relate them to the actual world. But I see the whole problem starts with how we are thinking about this question. The question we are thinking about is, again, just thinking, how do we teach technology? It's not that. How do we see where technology comes into picture in a student's life and how he can understand technology and understand the next step out of that technology? And that's where I am thinking. I think there is a gap that needs to be filled, and we are taking jumps right now, and then suddenly they are introduced to something very big. How do you make someone understand how it is going to be useful? And that's the angle that needs to be looked at anywhere and everywhere where we think about adding knowledge to someone.
We treat kids too much as kids, in a sense, right? Like we assume that, like, they don't know what they're doing, and, like, of course they are learning and all that, but there's a tendency to infantilize them. You know, when we're making a lot of decisions on their behalf already, and that's, I think, close to infantilizing. And I think I just want to leave on that thought from the education perspective, where it is important to, like, it's easy to get lost in the details of you know, what is a good policy and what isn't, when you lose, like, a whole stakeholder, which is the kids who are being learned or being taught.
Effectively, you treat them like they have the agency in their own decision making, and they're a lot more invested in a way of what they can pay for themselves as a future.
Yeah, so I mean, of course, there's drawbacks to it. Like, I mean, there's a thing about, like, how you shouldn't over mature kids, which happens in a lot of households too, right? Where sometimes you expose them to decisions which, like, for example, raising another kid, the elder sibling might end up being like a foster mother for the younger sibling if the parents aren't working and stuff like that. Like, there are studies that show, like, the cognitive effects and all of that around those lines, like the sense of a lost childhood and all. We have to balance all of these, but this, like, I feel like right now we're not even talking about like, you know, treating them as more mature than they are. Like, we just think of them as, hey, you're young, you're less than this thing, listen to what this person has to say. It's very one way, in a sense.
I think in general there's the idea that children might not, like, us being adults, and there are some mistakes that we make that at certain points when you're a child, you just don't know what the consequences yeah. are, which is why there is also some moral responsibility from the behalf of someone around them to say, you might not want to do this, you might regret this yeah. in the future. So I think there is a fine line to be drawn.
Of course.
But yeah. I think this is a really good time to segue into something more personal.
Yeah.
I'm personally very curious, how did you guys grow up? Like, did you have a lot of control over what you want to do, or were your parents very strict on
So, well, I think both my parents were working, right? My mom was a school teacher. My mom used to take me along to a lot of her teaching workshops, for example, where they used to, like, you know, discuss at a meta level how to teach math. And there used to be a lot of discussion. Like, I mean, I was young then, I didn't probably didn't understand. But it all it did was, it did inculcate, like, a, you know, a deep respect for the subject. And, like, you know, in a sense, like, there was a profundity to, when you're young, you get a mind blown, right? Like, a lot of the times. But, like, I think, like, math, I feel like, for me at least, like, blew my mind in a way that, like, you know, very few things have, in a sense, right? And that leaves a deep impression. And in general, I think as a consequence of them being working, I was just left alone. And I think, like, because I did, like, you know, fall behind my academics, per se, they were very hands-off. Like, my mom used to teach me regularly when I was, like, fourth grade, fifth grade. But after that, she was just like, you know, like, I've given you the basics, build whatever you want. Like, you know, we're not gonna, like, I was given autonomy to choose what I wanted to do, like, you know, what subjects I want to do and stuff like that. And in general, this played out when I was, like, my teens especially, where my mom used to come back from home, like, both my parents used to come home, like, quite late, so I had the whole afternoon and evening to myself. And that meant, like, okay, generally, like, what that would mean is
you would play video games.
No, yeah. But
like what any other teenage boy would do.
I did a bit of that. It's not like I did not do this thing, but I think I spent a lot more time, like, you know, reading books and novels in general, and, like, watching, like, you know, like, just random, like, okay, honestly, reading Wikipedia a lot to a certain degree. Like, or just, like, I just used to love encyclopedias and, like, just reading random stuff and, like, watching, like, a lot of documentaries, like, not, like.
I guess, though, because you're someone who I think would take a lot of things to extreme, like, if you're very interested in a subject, you're going to be so obsessed about it. I wonder if your parents ever thought, was like, is Harry okay? Like, is he reading too much?
So, I think that's what it is. So they were just, like, happy to let me
be,
you know. They were very hands-off, like, that sense. And so even when it comes to career decisions, like, you know, engineering and now the switch to policy, they were always like, you know, we believe we've equipped you with the skills to make your own decisions, so we're not going to question you too much. Just make sure that you're making the right choices, right? Like, so that all we can do is support you financially to a certain degree and, like, you know.
But what about Pooja?
Yeah, so I would say I am the youngest, so I have two siblings, and my mom has studied till, like, class 9 or 10, not even completed 10, and my father also wanted to finish his college, but he didn't really finish college as well. So it's not, like, the best in terms of education background, both of them, but it was really, at least for my father, it was the main important or focus about in his entire life was to teach the three kids. And he had always been very focused on that. So, and I've also seen my brother taking care of the family and excelling at things. And he's my idol, kind of. So I go by his rules, kind of. I know I should not be going by any rules, but I let him decide a lot of my life choices. And I think till now, he has been making all good decisions for me. So it just works out perfect. But my mom used to teach me till class 4. Yeah, she did teach me till 4. And then I had my brother and sister to take care of me later. And I didn't study class 5. My father thought that I am too cool. I'm a good student. So I was made jump to from 4 to class 6. So I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I failed in maths, I failed in geography, in class 6, and then by 12th I scored 100 on 100 in mathematics. I was like, there you go, on your face, because I know my shit. But then I still feel that the education system that I was in was not the perfect learning experience. Is just school was one part of it for sure. It taught me basic morals, it taught me basic numbers that I could then relate to other big things. But that's what I take from my school life, the goal of life, like why I'm here. Other than that, the different angles of people talking about issues, the different angles of policy issues, it has all come down after I left my school.
I think I'm very similar to you, Pooja, in a way where I felt like I just followed whatever I needed to learn in school. I wasn't a self-starter either. And then I really only felt like I discovered more of my own passion after school, like after I was 18, after I was in university, decided to do other things.
I don't know, like for me, it also came down to the resources that was available. So we were maximizing from the resources that was available. The maximization was that I had school. That's it. Parents couldn't really help me figure out a lot of other things. We didn't have phone or anything at home to take, to understand other things, to get access to other things. So it was quite limited, but I had school. So I did give a lot of time to school. And that has impacted the way I think about life. And I'm still restricted and I'm still exploring. That's where I think if my school had more on looking at these angles of exploring things, it would have helped me, even if I didn't have the resources back at home.
Thank you so much for sharing, both of you guys. It was an absolutely like fun session where we delved into all kinds of information.
I'd probably just wrap this up with the moral of the story at the end of this. It's like, everybody who's listening in, stay in school. Have a good night, everybody.
So that was the podcast for today. We hope you enjoyed it.